the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot Rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Yeah, I'm getting reminded that Kirby Smart both had Pittman and Mel Tucker on the staff. I didn't even go. That wasn't the point of my last little diatribe, but I get it. I understand you wanted to get that in there, and I just made it on the record on the show. So you got it. All you folks hit me up about that. You got what you wanted there. Brian Driscoll with us. Irish Breakdown, Sports Illustrated, Wisconsin game in Chicago. Brian, how far is Chicago from Granger, Indiana? How far of a drive is that?
Oh, well, where the game is going to be, probably about 2 hours, maybe just a tad less. Just hop right on the highway and take it right on into Soldier Field.
Notre Dame played better against Purdue, Brian. I don't know how to measure that. It's not like Purdue is Alabama or Georgia, but it was a game that they did show some improvement in.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time that we actually saw them. Well, I think defensively is really where the big improvement was against Purdue. We saw them not giving up the big plays they'd been given the first two games. We saw them better against the run. And, we started to look like the defense that I thought it would be heading into the preseason. The offense, I didn't see a lot of improvement there. But I think defensively, we definitely saw this unit start to take a step forward.
Matching up with Wisconsin and their reputation in the trenches, what kind of feat will this take?
You know, I think defensively, I think Notre Dame matches up okay. Wisconsin doesn't throw the ball very well. They're very physical, run it, all those type of things. I think Notre Dame should be able to play them very similarly to how Penn State did. Offensively, it's a concerning matchup because right now, Notre Dame's offensive line has basically been pushed around and beaten by Florida State, Toledo, and Purdue, and not exactly three juggernaut defenses, Bill. And so that's a very concerning matchup because I kind of made a joke on our show last week that if Notre Dame was in a 7-on-7 tournament, I would feel like this team could play with anybody just because of the skill that they have. I mean, you look at the Purdue game, and, you know, Michael Mayer gets taken out by Purdue scheme-wise. Kevin Austin takes himself out with all the drops. Braden Lindsey drops a touchdown, and yet Notre Dame still rips you up because they've got Avery Davis, they've got Kyron Williams, they've got Chris Tyree. And this team is loaded with skill, but the neutralizer for Notre Dame has been, in a negative standpoint, has been the offensive line. And it's hard to rip people up for four quarters when your offensive line can't open up run lanes and can't protect the quarterback. And that's very concerning when you consider this is going to be by far the best front seven that they've played so far this season. So it's a very concerning matchup, and it's to me the only reason I think this game is going to be competitive and close for four quarters.
And the tackles, Lug has been around a long time, and then they were playing Tosh Baker, obviously a bunch of injuries over there. That's been a tough matchup for them this year. These guys are getting either bull rushed right into the quarterback or they're getting out-athleted. Either way, it's been a mess.
Yeah, to me, they're getting out-techniqued is really what it boils down to, Bill. It's I still can't figure out what they're asking their tackles to do from a pass set standpoint. It's, you know, Josh Lugg is a kid that is 6'7", he's almost 310 pounds, he's a former top 100 recruit, he's got double-digit career starts under his belt, and I'm watching guys from Toledo and Purdue kind of get up under his pads and push him back, and things that 2 years ago he didn't do. And then I'm seeing the same thing with Tosh Baker. Tosh Baker, there's nobody that's more athletic than Tosh Baker that he's gone against so far. It's just the way that they have him play, it causes him to be kind of slow-footed out of his stance. It's the craziest thing, because they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, and you're like, how do you still think this is working? It's been really maddening, because, look, what's your job as a coach, Bill? It's to put your players in position to be successful, to maximize their ability. And through three games, we haven't seen that from the Notre Dame offensive line. I mean, it's just across the board, guys stopping their feet at the point of contact, you know, guys not knowing how to work through combo blocks, things like that. It's been a really frustrating endeavor so far.
Brian Driscoll with us, Sports Illustrated Notre Dame. I saw you graded the receivers poorly in the Purdue game, which I totally agree with. And I know the fans ask you this probably 10 times every minute, but the young kids like Styles and Cozy, they'll get him in a snap or two. But I'm over this veteran receiver group. I've been over them for a while, and I'm just not a believer.
You're talking about for Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're talented players. I mean, look, Kevin Austin, the first two games was outstanding. I mean, he was really good the first two games. I mean, he made a huge money play on the game-winning drive against Toledo, had a big game against Florida State. I think Avery Davis is coming off of a monster game. You know,
Davis
Braden
played
Lindsay,
well. Yeah.
Yeah, Braden Lindsay has been getting open, and then he finally gets the ball and he drops it. So that's a concerning. But, you know, look, I think this receiver group the first 2 weeks – played very well. I just think they weren't getting the ball and opportunities where they needed to get the ball. But when they did, they made the plays. I think they played poorly against Purdue. I'm not ready to write them off just yet, because I still think that, especially when you look at Kevin Austin, he's still your most talented player. He had a bad game. And thing you got to remember about Kevin Austin, Bill, he's a senior.
Yeah,
he had six career catches coming into this season. He missed all but two games last year. He missed all of 2019. This is still a kid that's kind of getting that, you know, he's kind of getting his first real experience as a go-to guy. He had a bad game. Now, what I want to see is how he bounces back. If he doesn't bounce back mentally from this game, then you can say, hey, maybe this kid just doesn't have it mentally. But I'm definitely not ready to write them off. But at the same time, I think you know me well enough to know, Bill, I'm also a person that says, okay, that's your starters, but this is 2021. Every good team in America that I know of knows how to play four or five receivers. Every team that I know of that's good knows how to get a talented freshman like Lorenzo Styles, a talented freshman like Deion Colsey, you know, 10, 12 snaps, and then see what those kids can do. And Notre Dame has always kind of had a problem with that ever since Dell Alexander arrived. I mean, I think in the 5 years that Dell Alexander's played, including the one catch each that Colsey and Styles have this year, freshman receivers in Notre Dame have had a grand total of 11 catches in 5 years. You know, I'm sorry. That's unacceptable.
Tyler Buckner, how much will we see him?
Well, it depends on how healthy he is. You know, he tweaked his hamstring against Purdue and didn't come back. If he's healthy, I think we'll see him about the same that we've seen in the last couple weeks. I think we'll see him for four or five series. They'll bring him in as a change of pace. You know, use that athleticism to their advantage and see if they can try to find a way to have him use his arm a little bit more. I think that's going to be the plan. It just depends on how that hamstring heals up during the week of practice.
Brian Driscoll, Sports Illustrated, Notre Dame, Wisconsin. I got that game in the two slot. I got Arkansas A&M in the one slot. But I am very interested in the outcome of this game and how it's played. What are the keys for the Irish versus Wisconsin?
Just for me, the big keys are you've got to be able to use your athleticism. I don't think there's any doubt that Notre Dame is the more athletic team, and the more athletic team by quite a bit. You just have to figure out ways on both sides of the ball to be able to use that athleticism to your advantage. You know, I mean, that's kind of been the key for Ohio State when they've played Wisconsin the last couple of years. I mean, you go look at the Big Ten title game in 2019, and, you know, Wisconsin's got, I think it was like a 14-3 halftime lead, and it was a physical game, and Wisconsin was taking it to them. And then the second half, Ohio State made changes on offense to allow their speed to take over, and they ended up winning, I think it was like 34-21. That's going to be the key for Notre Dame, is how can you neutralize the advantage they have in the trenches, especially with your offense. I think those are going to be the keys. And then also offensively, you've got to figure out a way to protect your quarterback, whether that's moving the pocket, do some max pros, screen game them, do some different things with your quicks and with your screens to slow down their pressures. You got to figure something out, because you can't continue to allow Jack Cohn to get hit like he's getting hit, and you can't, you know, you're giving up pressures on 4- and 5-man, you know, you're giving up hits on 4- and 5-man pressures. I mean, that just can't happen. So you've got to figure out a way to protect your quarterback. And if you do, because if you don't do that, Bill, all the other cool stuff we could talk about for the next 30 minutes about scheme and all these other things won't matter if you can't protect your quarterback.
By the way, Notre Dame got a class of 23 running back out of Miami yesterday, which is a pretty good hit for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second. They've got 5 kids in the 23 class, Bill. 2 of them are from Florida. One's from Tampa, one's from Miami. Cedric Irvin Jr., obviously his dad was a pretty darn good college football player for Michigan State. But, you know, they've got the number one class in the country right now, according to Rivals in the 2022 class. They're number 2 in the 2023 class. So, you know, Notre Dame has certainly taken advantage of the success they've had on the field on the recruiting trail, which is nice to see. It's like they finally got over the whole, oh, gee, we can't recruit top players, and they're actually finally trying to get top players. And so far, they're having a great deal of success doing so.
Quick little story. First time I ever noticed Nick Saban as a college coach. I'd known about him, but he flashed very early Michigan State days. And Cedric Irvin, who, by the way, is about a 225-pound back. His kid's listed at 185, so totally different body types. But he was considered maybe the number one running back in America that year out of the Miami area. And it came down to Tennessee and Michigan State. And he must have, Brian, changed his commitment from Michigan State to Tennessee back and forth. It seemed like 5 times. I mean, I'm probably embellishing, but this thing went back and forth I don't know how many times, and that's the first time I ever noticed Nick Saban, and Michigan State ended up getting him.
Well, and if you think about what Tennessee was at that time, that
correct.
Was Peyton, you know, all right. That, and to be able for Michigan State, who was not much of a program at that time, to be able to go down to Miami and get a guy like Cedric Irvin says a lot about what Nick Saban
exactly.
was going to build at Michigan State, you know. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that, the Notre Dame fans, you know, that was kind of when you're like, oh, wow, when Michigan State's actually coached well, they're pretty good. Kind of right. What we saw his last couple years there, too. Cedric Irvin went 2-0 against Notre Dame in 97-98, had over 100 yards both times. So his dad is certainly familiar with the Irish.
Hey, I'll let you go, but isn't he I thought he was a high school coach down there somewhere.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I believe he's at Gulliver Prep where his son goes.
That's right.
Which is, you know, not just a good football program, but a phenomenal academic institution as well.
Hey, Brian, good to have you here, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.
There you go. Brian Driscoll from Sports Illustrated, and it's called Irish Breakdown. Does a very, very good job. All right, we're clear. We're clear from here to Lashpa, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's running a little bit slow here in Millersville on 65 southbound at the 99-mile marker as they work an accident in the right lane. Again, traffic's pretty slow going down through this section of Sumner County on 65 southbound. Coming out of Robertson County, keep that in mind. Traffic's building pretty good out here on I-40 up by the airport. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online today, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. It alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-915-3052. 800-915-3052. 800-915-3052. That's 800-915-3052.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whether you like Alabama or not, you're witnessing an unparalleled, unprecedented run. You're living it. You're watching it. You have memories that are deep of it. To be that dominant, you don't get to see that through the years that much. But this right here is crazy. This right here is off the chart. Can't believe it's happening, and they're not slowing down.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs near 68 degrees. For tonight, clear skies, lows 48. Sunshine for Friday, high 75. Friday night, clear 54. Saturday, sunshine, highs near 77. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction. 615-844-5600.
Just to give you an example of how things come and go. When Cedric Irvin Senior was being recruited in the mid-90s. Philip Fulmer was arguably the best head coach recruiter in America. You could say the same about Bobby Bowden. And Florida State had a better program. They played the one time there in 98 season, January of 99, in the championship. But Tennessee was going anywhere and everywhere and getting players. Top-rated players anywhere and everywhere. A top 10 class would have been a downer. It would have been like, what in the hell are you doing? You're only ranked number 10? That's how good they were under Fulmer. Fulmer catches a lot of flack, and obviously on this show. And Philip and I are not buddies. We were, but we're not. And say what you want about him. And he finally got run in 08. But dude was as good a head coach recruiter as you can get. Gotta also remember, Tennessee, geographically speaking, at least inside the state, until the last 10 years, was not much of a state for recruiting. They'd have a few players, but not a volume. Today, the state's got volume. It's totally changed. Tennessee is a very sexy state to go and recruit players. Wasn't for many, many years. Fulmer would have to go to New Orleans and get a Peyton Manning, have to go up to Ohio and get a Peerless Price, over to North Carolina and Charlotte and get a Jay Graham, go down to New Orleans and get a stud linebacker. They would go everywhere, okay? It did not matter. they would go everywhere, and they would get Johnny Five-Star. And when Cedric Irvin, he was the first-team All-American back, I believe his senior year would have been the fall of 95. I think so, down at Miami Southridge. And it came down to Tennessee and Nick Saban. And Nick was not anything remotely close to what you know about him now. Nick was a just-getting-going head coach at Michigan State. Chris Landry knew him, was with him up at the Cleveland Browns, etc. Don James, the former Washington coach, was his mentor. And I remember I'd known about him just because I always study assistant coaches. But when he was competing, and I know, look, back in the day before that, Michigan State went down there and got Lorenzo White out of there, a super stud running back. So they've gone in there and gotten players. But at the time, Tennessee's reputation was, you folks who are like as old as my oldest boy, who's 23, would have no concept of this, right? Like, what are you telling me about Tennessee? What? What? And it seems just like yesterday, even though it wasn't just yesterday. That's 25 years ago or so. And I figured Tennessee will get him because it's Tennessee and it's Fulmer, and look at all that they've got compared to Michigan State. And Saban got him. It's the first time I ever noticed him and thought, you know, again, I didn't project, okay, he just got Cedric Irvin. This guy's about to reel off more natties than anybody else. He's going to be the greatest ever. I definitely wasn't thinking that. But he flashed, right? I mean, it was like, whoa, how did that just happen? All these kind of players aren't going there. They're going to Tennessee. Or they're going to Florida State. Or they're going to Florida. Or they're going wherever, right? Miami. At the time. And that's, isn't it amazing? And again, the next really good coaches are out there right now working on it. Might be low-level staff members somewhere, but you can't say there's another Nick Saban developing out there. You don't know that. Probably isn't. He's more than a generational head coach. And now I know Urban Meyer elicits a lot of emotions. And Urban Meyer, they're not... There may not be another one of those. I'm talking about as a college coach. They're hard to come by, man. And Urban Meyer I'd known about because he was Lou Holtz's wide receiver coach. But here, what's ironic about him is I don't remember anybody ever saying, God, this guy on the staff, he is going to be incredible. Oh, my gosh. You wait until Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer wasn't even a coordinator. But then when he started hopping around Bowling Green, Utah, and all the quick turnarounds that he pulled off, you knew something was up. Yeah, you knew. And at Utah, he could have selected anybody, but it came down to Florida, Notre Dame. And he deemed that the Florida job was the better job, which it is. And that was a good idea on his part. Karen in Nebraska is challenging Chris Landry, says, I'd be willing to bet you on the Aggies versus the Hogs game. I'll take the Aggies straight up, or I'll give you points. Chris is not a gambling type. I don't think Chris has ever gambled. I would be willing to gamble that Chris has never gambled. That's not his thing. He's not into that. Yeah, that's not his... That's not the world that he chooses to be in. Oh, speaking of that, though, Brad will be with us tomorrow. BradPowerSports.com. And that'll be hour number three. Also, Kevin Hagan on Friday. And yes, yes, yes. Don't forget, Rusty. Rusty will be with us. I'm aiming for the first break in hour number one, Friday morning, tomorrow morning. I have not locked that up with him, but I'm confident we'll get that done. He sent me a message over this past weekend, said, Bill, I'm going to be in town. Let's do something. And I said, well, we're not going to be on the road, but I can get you on the phone. And he said, let's go. Let's do it. So Rusty's always good. Now, he's really, really busy, but for us, he's always been very accommodating and we appreciate that. So I will lock him in somewhere in there, and I anticipate that being the slot where we get your boy, Rusty Manziel, who I know I say this a lot, but really, when we put these people on, and I say guys, but Ole Miss Evie is a good example, these people own it, man. I mean, they work it around the clock. You cannot just, you can't have a site, if you want to be successful, or a topic, and not live it 24 hours a day. You really have to. You have to live it around the clock, and these folks do it, and Rusty is one of them. He's excellent. I just pulled it up on Bloomberg here on TV, and the S&P futures, well, we're a minute out of the market, but up about 20. Green today. We'll see. Karen says, Bill, that was a joke. Just messing with Chris because he's all in love with the Hogs. Well, but I don't think he picked, did he? I don't think he picked him. I just think he thinks this game could be good, should be a good game. I think it's supposed to be a good game, too. A&M's favored by, is it still 5, 5.5? I have not looked at the numbers in the last, 36 hours or so. So that number could have gotten bad either way, but I know that when it first came out, they were about a 5.5, 6-point fave for that matchup. I can't wait to see that game. I am really excited about that game for any number of reasons. I mean, it has SEC West implications. And A&M had a much bigger reputation coming into this season, meaning expectations for them were much higher than Arkansas. Now, Arkansas played pretty well last year, so the expectations for them were better than they had been. But A&M's the one that came in with all the glowing expectations. And to date, they have played well enough offensively, though they have not sprouted yet. Now, I'm not saying that won't happen because they've got talent. They've got studs at running back. They've got a stud tight end. They've got good receivers, tackle to tackle. They've got a good offensive line. That has not been their best this year, though. And the quarterback situation is moderate right now for them. This will be a fun game. No, this will be Jimbo versus Coach Pittman. Now, don't be sending me tweets that says, Bill, Jimbo was on Kirby Smart's staff. Don't do it. Don't you do that. Because he wasn't. Perry Mason, Bill, it's Tennessee week. Have we heard from the Cosby Cattleman? He used to burn it up on your show, Florida Tennessee week. Hard to believe how much this has changed. Actually, the Cosby Cattleman called me yesterday because he emailed me later, and we were off the air, I believe. And he was calling to complain. Cosby Cattleman will, well, he was emailing me to complain. Cosby Cattleman will email me with complaints. And from time to time, he'll send me one, says, Bill, this is that, this is that. But anyways, yeah, we were, if you'll recall, we were knocked off yesterday. That was on my end, internet connection. And we only got back on that last hour, the last segment of the show. But they tried to get in yesterday. He'll get in. He'll get in at some point this week. Yes, you bring that up, Perry, and I have lamented the last X number of years the lack of energy in the Tennessee-Florida game. The Tennessee-Florida game was at one point in the 90s, arguably, you could say as big a game as there was in college football for a year, for that year. And it went on mainly mid-90s up to about 01. Let's say between 95, that'd be Peyton Manning's sophomore year, but 95 to about 01. That was a game that everything on the planet seemed to revolve around. And not only that, because you had excellent players on both sides. But you had Steve Spurrier versus Fulmer. And you had the brash attitude of Steve Spurrier. And he never backed off. That's one of the many reasons that series was so good. Steve Spurrier is an East Tennessee guy. Played high school ball at Science Hill in Johnson City, Tennessee, which is upper East Tennessee. Played sports, was an incredible all-sports kind of athlete up there. His brother, Graham, used to call the show all the time. Sounded just like Steve. You couldn't tell him the difference. He worked for the Parks and Rec. I think he passed away a couple of years ago. But yeah, Graham Spurrier used to call us all the time. Steve would listen to the show as well and would get giggles because he would hear all the Tennessee calls and he would just, it just crack him up. And he would always call out Tennessee. He called out Florida State. He called out Georgia. I mean, he picked his enemies. Those were his main three, right? His main three were Tennessee, Florida State, and Georgia. And he would pick on them and bring stuff up about them whenever he could. And he never backed down and he never cared about what somebody would put up on a locker room wall to motivate some other team. That was not an item for him. That was not a concern. That was not a thing. And that's just one of the reasons why Tennessee, Florida was so good. The folks covering this game these days have no concept, the ones that are younger, of what this series could be. No concept. No idea what it could be. And I don't know if Tennessee, I know Tennessee fans don't want to hear this, but frankly, I don't know if Tennessee's trending at all to make this once again what it used to be. To get back to where you were there for that stretch of time, and we were just talking about it earlier, the players they would recruit. Cedric Irvin ended up at Michigan State. He would have been at Tennessee if he'd have chosen Tennessee. Peyton Manning's junior year, I believe his freshman year would have been 96. Somebody can check that out and correct me. But I'm a year, if I'm wrong, it's a year. But I believe it would have been 96. And Tennessee was already recruiting incredible running backs. They had they were about to get Jamal Lewis. Now, they hadn't gotten him yet. What year would Jamal Lewis would have been the class of 97. So I believe Cedric Irvin was the year before. And remember in Georgia that year, the two big names were Jamal Lewis and Jasper Sinks. Jamal Lewis, Atlanta Douglas High School, Jasper Sinks, in Columbus, Georgia. I don't remember which high school he was at in Columbus. But there was always a debate about those two and who was the better back. And Jamal Lewis turned out to be the better back. But those were two highly coveted. One went to Tennessee and the other one went to Georgia. There was the same debate when it was a few years prior with Eric Zier and Heath Shuler. Eric Zier coming out of Marietta. And both of those turned out to be good quarterbacks. But it was always made out to be an either-or between those two. All right, we'll get a break. The S&P is up 28 right now. Very happy. A lot of green out there right now, y'all. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Still quite a bit of traffic trying to get down through Millersville right now on 65 going southbound. We did have some problems up through there a little bit earlier. Keep that in mind coming out of Robertson County. Still working that wreck with injuries over in the 400 block of Cedar Cliff Road. Traffic's also very busy right now. 24 passing Harding Place. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online today at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
No time to drive through? Get Slim's delivered. Our hand-breaded tenders, perfectly fried wings, southern sides, and even sweet treats. All delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim Chickens app and select delivery. Whether you're driving through, pulling up for curbside service, or now getting it delivered, Slim's has you covered. Download the Slim Chickens app and order online.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Thursday Night Football is only on NFL Network.
That's going to be a dogfight.
We're here for a primetime showdown in the Lone Star State.
That's big time there.
Christian McCaffrey is ready to lead the Panthers to the next level.
Surgical precision.
But the Texans are looking to show out in front of the H-Town faithful.
Bang, touchdown.
Panthers, Texans. Week 3 starts here.
This guy can run.
Thursday Night Football, Thursday at 8, only on NFL Network.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and what a weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. Everybody talking about Kevin Harvick and Chase Elliott in the garage area arguing, but it was Kyle Larson with a checkered flag. Up next is Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
We're doing video now. Check us out at youtube.com/TheFinalLap every single weekday right here.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
West Coast Sooner, out in L.A., not lower Alabama. Bill, do you think Georgia is currently playing better than Alabama? I would not have said so prior to the Florida game. Now you could make that argument, the way both are currently playing. I'd still have Alabama probably in the one slot, but I think the Georgia debate is more viable in the moment right now. Gary Joe Collins up in Tim Couch country. Bill, how is your boy in dental school liking the Ville? Yeah, my son is a first-year dental school student at the University of Louisville, and that's a family thing. My brother went there to dental school, and so did my dad. Billy, number 3, is there. We went up and visited him. Like I told you, a couple of Saturdays back, they had the white coat ceremony for all the newcomers. And, I really haven't asked him. You're so busy. When you're going to dental school, medical school, law school, you don't have time to even think about anything really other than classroom. They take your life completely under control. It's not like college where you can skip out and all that. It is a grind. They own every ounce of your being. And he's happy with it, and he's doing well. He's doing well. I'm not worried about that part of it. But he looked at some places in the downtown area close to the dental school, but frankly, he was told that's not safe. Louisville is not, the older dental school students told him, those of us that live close to the school in the downtown, because the dental school is in the downtown area, we worry about getting to our car after class. That's how bad it is. And so he lives out in the burbs and drives in about 15 minutes. No big deal, but he's in a good area. But Louisville is, I mean, you compare Louisville to Nashville and the way this town has grown compared to Louisville. And Louisville's growing too, but it's totally different. I mean, it's, I'll just leave it at that. It's not good. But yeah, he's doing good up there. He's doing very good. Couple more, and then we'll get a call. Jeff, too, says, Bill, I bring this up all the time when it's Tennessee-Florida week. And it's a tweet from 2 years ago. Jeff, too, did the research. From 1990 to 2002, the Florida-Tennessee game was a top 15 matchup each game, each time. 10 times during that 90 to 2002 stretch, the game was a top 10 matchup. 4 times, it was a top 5 matchup. Also during that stretch, Tennessee of Florida won the SEC 9 times during that time frame. Each team also won a natty in that stretch. Take that data by Jeff Too and juxtapose it to today. You don't even notice it. That's how much things have changed. Tennessee football started dying, even though it took a little time, the second half of the Nick Saban 0-1 LSU Tennessee SEC championship game. And that was one of Tennessee's better teams. That team was a half away from going back to the national championship. They would have had to have played that Miami team that was maybe as loaded as any team ever. But just getting back would have been more equity in the bank for Fulmer. They didn't run him until 08. But that was the first, and we didn't know it at the time, but that was the first moment. They had a few other moments after that. Got to the SEC championship game in 07. But that was the first shot across the bow. Josh says, yeah, but your boy isn't too busy to worry about the betting lines. That is true. Now, he didn't hit me up. He didn't hit me up every day, but I'd say once a week. And he hit me up yesterday about that, too. But, he's got to be in class when he sends me that text. That's true. Yeah, that's true. He's having a little bit of fun, man. Have a little fun on the side while he's up. I do not think he's playing the market. Now, before he got into, before school started, he'd play the market every day. And he's good at it, really good at it. And he'd play options. Boy, the S&P, speaking of that, is 43. Up 43 in the green. I believe it was the jobs number. Tell you what, with Allen, I want to give him his latitude. So if Allen can hang tight, we'll get him through the break. Coming out, we'll get him. Jay Cutler's burner account, Tennessee-Florida game, Bill. Florida wins 62-17. The game will be 5 hours and 24 minutes long. Major moves in West Bengal, Virginia. Bill, speaking of Tennessee, what do you think will happen, if anything, between them and the NCAA? That is silent right now. I don't have any idea. I don't know how you could crush Tennessee any further than the football program is crushed. They had, was it 26 transfer portal guys? Ty Chandler's running up and down the field over there for North Carolina. Eric Gray's been good and solid for Oklahoma. Henry To'oto'o down at Alabama. Last game wasn't his best, but he's a big loss for them. I mean, Tennessee is bleak in depth. And you could say bleak in some cases with what they're trotting out there. I don't know what more, how much further you could crush them if indeed they're going to do something like that. All right, we'll get a call when we come back. Wrapping it up. S&P is happy at 44 now. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic trying to get down through Millersville right now on 65 going southbound. We did have some problems up through there a little bit earlier. Keep that in mind coming out of Robertson County. Still working that wreck with injuries over in the 400 block of Cedar Cliff Road. Traffic's also very busy right now. 24 passing Harding Place. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online today at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Award-winning Davidson Reserve Whiskey is the truest expression of what originally inspired Pennington Distilling Company, based in Nashville, to open a distillery in 2011. It's a reflection of Tennessee heritage that connects Tennessee to a long and storied history of distilling alcohol. Each expression is mashed, distilled, aged, and bottled right on site. Davidson Reserve takes pride in our craft, and we are honored to share it with you. Pick up a bottle of one of our award-winning Davidson Reserve whiskeys from your local retailer today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey is one of the world's first chances to experience and taste a small batch craft Tennessee whiskey. Taste this locally distilled, aged, and bottled spirit today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey.
Greg Pogue back once again to tell you about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just inside the 5th Avenue entrance across from the Music City Center. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving a fresh locally roasted coffee, classic handcrafted espresso drinks, and fresh baked goods. Open every morning at 7 until 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon on Sunday. Bongo Java adds to that great Omni Nashville Hotel experience.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This is going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunshine, highs near 68 degrees. For tonight, clear skies, lows 48. Sunshine for Friday, high 75. Friday night, clear 54. Saturday, sunshine, highs near 77. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio
King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Bill King Show, brought to you by the palatial, lovely Omni Nashville Hotel.
Allen down in, I don't know if he's home from Hall County. Somewhere down there he is. What's up, Allen?
Good morning, buddy. I've been hogtown loading my last truck. I'm getting the heck out of here.
So you leave today?
Yeah, I've been loading up a truck with some fiberglass tanks we busted up. I got about two more buckets, and I'm skedaddling.
I hear you, man. I hear you. So what's up?
I don't know this weekend with my nose. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be 38 to 10, or they play a good, they show up and play, or I don't know what the heck it's like.
If this season is leaving us clues, Louisville wins that game pretty handily, I would think.
That's what I'm thinking, too, you know. I really think that. I mean, I just don't see just is the play calling. I don't understand, you know, fourth and two, you run McKenzie Milton. And my 103-year-old aunt probably run better than he can at times with his knee. You know, I don't understand. Listen, next football game my coach is going to be my first. But I just don't understand some of the stuff, you know.
Are you going?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, man. I'm a glutton for punishment.
I hear you.
My wife's cousin's flying in from Nashville. He gets here at 11:40. He's a big Tennessee alum. And I'm going to ask him how misery is and then jump in the wheels ahead to the liquor store and stop the bus up and get in the bus and head out first thing in the morning.
Yeah, he can tell you what 20 years feels like.
You know, I was talking to my brother yesterday, Mr. Alabama boy, and I was telling him, look, dude, remember between Stallings and Saban? I mean, you know, so I hope Norville's the right guy. You keep going through coaches. It's not going to be good, you know.
Right.
You can't just keep doing that. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. It's depressing, to say the least.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Hey, your son, if you need some false teeth up there to practice on, I know where to get some of that.
I don't think that's a problem up in Louisville, from what I can tell.
It's not a problem. It's a problem in Alabama because they ain't all got their teeth. There's a reason they call it a toothbrush in Alabama, not a teeth brush.
That's right. Man.
And I grew up in Alabama, so I got the right to say that.
Yep.
You know?
You're a Birmingham
but,
kid, aren't you?
Yes, sir. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I tell you, this Gainesville, man, I'm in here in Hogtown. I guess all college towns are this way. The homeless people are across the street from us is like a homeless camp, and the ambulance comes maybe 10 times a day and hauls one away.
That's right in Gainesville. Wow.
I sent you a picture this morning. The building across the street says, welcome to the University of Florida. I'm like two blocks from the stadium.
Man.
I mean, it's Tallahassee. I mean, Nashville's got a bad homeless problem. I know.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah, we do.
There was one yesterday. I don't know what his deal was. He's either drunk or he was on something. Whatever it was, it knocked him out. He was laid on the ground, and they come and picked him up, throw him on the stretcher, and hauled him away. Whatever he was on, it was good. I'll put it that way.
Alan, be safe out there, brother. Appreciate you very much,
all right,
sir.
Buddy, thanks for taking my call, man. Appreciate it. Have a good day, man.
Be safe, man. Get back to Tampa. Kip in D.C. Probably wish he was down there in Hogtown about right now. What's up, Kip? How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing? Toothbrush, not a teeth brush. That's the first time I heard that, but that was pretty funny.
That's a Southern thing.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. Hey, you brought up 2001. I probably never asked you this question before, but, you know, no matter how loaded you are, we all know, you got to have the right coaching, right?
Right.
I always say 01, and then you talk about Tennessee before when they, you know, they made the SEC championship. I always looked at it as a year that got away from us. We lost two games that year, one to Auburn, one to Tennessee. Both games played without Ernest Graham, who was our bell cow. You know, unfortunately, Donnell Dockett, who's from up here in the D.C. area, actually twisted his knee and that put a dirty play in that FSU game. We had to play Tennessee the next week without Ernest Graham and lost that game. If Spurrier would have took that 0-1 team and had a crack at Coker, I don't care how low the Miami was, I really would have liked that chance there, especially seeing what Coker did the following year when he went up against Tressel and, you know, he had the better roster.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Spurrier, I think, and I think I've heard him say this. I haven't asked him. But I think he feels like the 0-1 team might have been his best team. And that one, remember how disappointed he was? He said he was at the press conference after the game, the Tennessee game. Was it Tennessee game or I don't remember, but he goes, Gators aren't winning anything this year. I remember him saying that.
Yep. And I remember that vividly. Yep.
I remember I heard him on a radio show when he was with the Redskins, and it was here in town. And Joe Biddle, longtime columnist here, went to high school with Spurs, so he could always get him on his show here in town. And it was when he was with the Redskins, but all they talked about was the Gators. And it was, I don't even know who the Redskins were playing that week, but I heard Spurrier said that 0-1 team might have been his best team.
Yeah, that was a fun team, man. We were loaded. I think only thing that held us back a little bit was the running back depth. When Graham went down, we didn't have a stout ball carrier. That was an excellent team. Lost by 2 points to Bama this week, this past week. Very happy we got a coach like Mullen, but as we can see the uptick in recruiting, we have to uptick a bit because we got stout guys on the back end, you know, some high profile safeties. There are some missed tackles that we had in the game that, you know, instead of 21-3, maybe 13-3, maybe 17-3, those points count. So we'll build it. We'll be there, Bill. We're going to see him against Atlanta.
Kip, appreciate it, bud. Yeah, thanks for the call. Kip up in D.C. If you were at Commitmas, the last time we had it, Kip was there. Had a good time. At Patton underscore Cook, 45-ish on the S&P right now. If you're in it this morning and you're long, you're probably green too. You're probably doing well. Tomorrow I'll add Rusty to the list. I got to confirm it, but he'll be with us. Also, Kevin Hagan, talking Alabama, and, of course, Brad, Hour 3, handicapping. Lodge Pop.